have rosé.
Yes, we've switched from Dark Horse to Black Sheep for this episode.
Le Grand Noir.
Yes.
That's French for the Great Black, right? I mean, the Big Black?
I could never get the hang of French. I don't know how you pronounce any of the words.
I think you put a couple marbles in your mouth, and then you try to say the word as if it were English.
But then you'd never say, like, the last couple letters.
Yeah, you only make the sounds of the vowels.
Yeah.
And then you just let the rest hang in the air as a suggestion.
Like, the 1 year of high school French I took.
Did you switch out? Were you like, back to Spanish
for me? I did take Spanish, yes. And then we went to Paris once, and I was like, I sort of remember French, but then I was too intimidated to speak it because I know I'm really bad at pronouncing it. And I'm like, ugh, I already feel like a dumb American to begin with, and now I'm going to butcher saying everything. Ah!
That's how I feel in my local grocery store, though, because we have, like, a heavily Spanish-influenced... like, independent market.
Yeah.
And when you go up to the deli counter, if you want to order, like, carnitas,
yeah,
everyone does it in Spanish, but here I am, like, the whitest girl in the world.
Like, hello, one carnita. Thank you.
And they'll ask me a question. I'm like, sorry, what?
Yeah.
I know a little bit of Spanish, so I could probably try to get by, but I'm too embarrassed.
Yes. I'm like, I just know I'm not going to say it right, and I don't know if the effort is better than... not trying.
Right. Like, if I try poorly, are they going to be like, girl.
Right. Like, just stop. What are you doing?
No. Just be what you are.
I'm just probably never going to leave my house. It's usually my plan. Welcome back to Furnish Your Own.
I am your co-host, Sunshine Lamontri.
And I'm Dana LaCoco. And neither of us can speak foreign languages, as you probably have figured out by now.
Yeah.
But we are back with episode 15.
16.
16.
Yes.
Oh,
our
right.
Mini episode.
Our
is
mini
15.
Episode was 15.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Look at us.
Oh, man. We'll have to do something fun for episode 20.
That's a good idea.
Yes.
I like that. Something to look forward to.
Exactly.
All right.
So we're here with episode 15. We read
16.
Not again. Oh, no.
All right. We're here with episode 16.
We've read a book called Curiosity Killed the Cat, not to be confused with our last book that we read, Curiosity Thrilled the Cat.
Very different books.
Yes, and very different stories.
That's true.
We are pivoting back to some hardcore magic in this one.
Mm-hmm. We have Because Witches as a reason.
Big reason. If you have not previously done so, go ahead and give us a rating, a review, or a subscription on iTunes or your preferred podcast of choice.
Anywhere that you feel like clicking those stars or the number thingies, writing up a little, hey, I love cats and I love murder and these girls are great.
It'd be sweet.
Even go on Facebook and do it.
Yes.
That helps us too.
We're at Pretty She Wrote on all of the social media channels.
That's right.
All right. Let's get into this book. As we've mentioned, this is Curiosity Killed the Cat, and this is our first international cozy mystery. It takes place in England. Mm-hmm. We're following one Amanda Sheridan as she inherits her great aunt's country manor, finds out she's a witch, befriends a talking cat who is actually a warlock trapped in the body of a cat, and solves a murder. A lot goes on.
Yeah. It's also a fairly short story. It's 136 pages.
Yeah.
Which is more novella-sized.
Our author, T.H. Hunter, really packs a lot of content into a slim... Well, I'm assuming it's slim. I read it on a Kindle.
I mean...
So, T.H. Hunter is somewhat of a mystery. Here's the author bio on Amazon. It's very short. I've always enjoyed mysteries of all shades and colors. Luckily, I came across a warlock-turned-cat called Barry one day on one of my lengthy walks. In exchange for providing a regular supply of tuna and a good deal of ego-stroking, he has graciously agreed to sharing some of his stories.
That's the author bio?
That is it.
Wow.
So I did a little bit more digging.
Okay.
And there was a link in the author bio to T.H. Hunter's website.
Okay.
Which is writingmysteries.com.
Ooh.
Yes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty broad.
Jumped on that domain name. So T.H. Hunter writes two mystery series. Mm-hmm. There's this one, which is the Cozy Conundrums. And they also write a series called Cursed Vampire.
Oh.
That is a paranormal romance meets paranormal mystery with a major twist at the end you won't see coming. According to the contact page, T.H. Hunter is a pen name for Alexander Dudney, who lives in Germany.
That's unexpected.
Totally unexpected.
A dude?
I guess.
All right.
I mean, that's all that writingmysteries.com reveals.
Wow. A German dude.
Yeah.
Or a dude who resides in Germany, rather. Right. That's fascinating.
It is.
Huh.
I wanted to know more, but there were no social media channels associated with this author, so
I would have bet that this was written by a woman.
I totally thought so, too.
Hmm, that just shows my bias.
I mean, we thought Miranda James was a lady, turned out that Miranda James was Dean James.
I was not super surprised to learn that Miranda James was a Mr. Dean James, though.
That's true. I feel like Grandpa Charlie was very close to Mr. Dean James, person.
Yeah, I got that impression as well.
So, not a super robust author section for this book. I mean, it really is a mystery.
Well, likewise, in terms of reviews, we did not have a lot of information to work with.
Mm.
On Amazon, Curiosity Killed the Cat has 4.6 out of 5 stars, so it's very highly rated.
Yes.
However, the sample size of that is 7 reviews.
Okay.
So it was a 57% to 43% split between 5 and 4 stars, which means that all 7 people loved it.
Wow.
I got a couple quotes. Christina gave it 5 out of 5 stars. She said, "The snarky cat is a winner." Loved it. A snark cat. An inheritance. Witch powers. And murder in a plot that is zany, fun, and fresh. Okay. Plots like this have been used before, but the banter and humor take this out of the norm. Great plot with plenty of suspects and red herrings and characters that feel like friends. Can't wait to read the next one.
Aww.
Oh, yeah. That's a nice review.
It is.
It's pretty on the nose, too.
T.H. Hunter / Alexander Dudney. That one should make you feel good.
Yeah. Print that out. Frame it.
Yep.
Put it by your desk.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Kindle customer said 5 out of 5 stars, and they wrote their review with line breaks in it as though it were a poem.
Oh.
So I shall read it.
Is it a poem?
It doesn't rhyme, but that's not what makes a poem, so that's I don't know.
All right.
They said the title of this review poem is, "So glad I gave this series a look-see. I was extremely pleased with this series. It was very entertaining with some wonderful characters. I especially loved Barry the cat. He has such a wonderful personality. I enjoyed the really great twist at the end with the culprit. This is truly a fascinating series for anyone who is looking for an entertaining cat witch mystery series."
Poetic.
It's a poem.
It's another good one to print out.
It's a poem in praise of Curiosity Killed the Cat. And then, because there were such slim pickings on Amazon, I hopped over to Goodreads.
Ah, there you go.
Mm-hmm. And Goodreads had 4.29 out of 5 stars. There were 21 ratings, but only 4 reviews. And a couple of the reviews, it seemed like copypasta from Amazon over to Goodreads or vice versa.
But someone's being very thorough about
they were everywhere. Gonna plaster this review everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But one person, M, was not a fan.
Ooh.
Mm. M rated it 2 out of 5 stars. And this is what the mysterious M had to say. "It started off quite nicely. A quiet mystery in a remote town. Two girls unaware of what is going to happen. However, by the first quarter of the book, anyone can guess how this is going to unravel. By the way it was written, I am sure the author never intended this to be a literary masterpiece."
Oof. Ouch. Don't print that one off.
No. Leave that one. Close the browser. Don't continue. But does that mean it isn't a fun read? It's a nice story that you should give to your 11-year-old kid to read. And maybe read it yourself, too, if you can manage the time. I kind of feel like that about this review.
Yeah.
Like, this review isn't well written either.
No.
So, I don't really know who you're convincing.
Yeah.
There's a little bit more. The characters aren't that complicated. A newbie magical investigator with her sidekick, a newbie to magic, and an expert in all things magic, have a go at solving a mystery that the Heb, this is like the Muggles,
right?
Basically,
yes.
Police. Oh, which they clarify in parentheses, Muggle police. utterly fail to solve. Pretty predictable, but was fun. Felt like watching an episode of Father Brown.
I don't know that show.
I think it's a British thing about a priest.
Oh.
Who?
A cozy priest?
I think he's a cozy priest.
Is it like Murder, She Wrote, but with a priest?
Something like that.
Wow.
But British, so okay. British humor. So those were the reviews. Mostly above board, positive.
Yeah.
We loved it. It was enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
And just that one person being like, meh.
Someone's got to be the rain cloud.
Someone always has to.
Yeah. I think I'd agree with most of the reviews. This was a quick read, and it was pretty enjoyable. Although some of the, well, put it this way, it filled in our cozy rubric almost a little too perfectly.
Yeah. If we were playing cozy bingo, we would have won, like, right away.
Yes, for sure. We would have dotted up almost all of those squares.
A free space, that's it. I win.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Mm-hmm. So let's start with our heroine. We've got Amanda Sheridan, although her nickname is Amy, which confused me. I thought that was a typo.
Her best friend calls her Amy, even though her name is Amanda. And I don't know. I feel like 99% of the world knows that the nickname for Amanda is Mandy.
Right.
And Amy is not a nickname for anything.
No, it's just a name.
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 No one says, Amanda, I'm going to call you Amy.
Right.
Unless she's saying Amy?
You think there'd be another M.
Right.
It was confusing
different
to me. I would say the most notable trait of our heroine, though, is that I don't think we've ever read a book with a more laid-back heroine.
Yeah. I feel like even Savannah...
Yes!
...had...
Oh, wow, that's a call. That's a cozy cat callback.
Yeah.
Episode one, catnapped our...
With the surprise proposal.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was our veterinarian assistant
who
is proposed to at the end of the book, and she's like, okay.
Sure.
That's fine.
Let's get married.
Yeah. Very laid back.
But
although this did not, spoiler alert, end in a surprise proposal.
Yeah.
Were you as kind of shocked as I was with how Amanda reacted to finding out that she was a witch?
Right. So she gets her great aunt's house.
Which is a check on cozy bingo
right
there.
Like, yeah.
Inheriting a mansion from a great aunt and a large sum of money.
A great aunt that you had no emotional connection to.
Right.
So she's not sad. She's like, I didn't know this old bat.
Yeah.
Now I have all of her money.
And her house. Dope.
So she's inherited this fortune and this giant house in this cozy town. And she walks in, there's a cat, and then the cat's like, surprise, I talk, I'm a warlock, trapped in the body of a cat, also you're a witch. And her reaction is not, all right, I must be stressed, like, I'm having a nervous breakdown, like, I need to check my medication, I need to go to a hospital, talk to a doctor, a professional, or something. She's like, oh yeah, cool.
I actually pulled this quote.
Oh, please read it.
Amanda runs across Barry, who is our warlock trapped in the body of a cat, and she's like, whoa, this cat can talk, that's nuts. And Barry looks at her and he says, I knew it, he said, I can always tell. What do you mean? I asked. You are a witch, he said. I beg your pardon? I asked. He sighed. You can do magic, he said. What? That's the definition of being a witch, he said. Which is basically like, oh, hey, you can do magic. Okay, cool.
Yeah. She's like, oh, yeah, sure. I'm a witch.
Okay,
not like,
great.
I suspected it all along,
In my childhood, I always had an affinity with cats, or I was great at making things happen that I thought about.
Just, right.
Just
or like little things that something, my hamster levitated or something.
Yeah, right.
There's none of that.
I could make plants grow.
Right.
No, she's just like, okay, cool.
Never suspected it, but
I just
sure.
Picked up this magic wand and all of a sudden I'm a witch now. Okay, great. I love it. Yeah, she's really laid back about it. And she really maintains this laid back attitude about pretty much everything in the book. I mean, again, even when she inherits her great aunt's house and the lawyer's like, oh, you're also going to inherit, like, £7 million. She's just like, oh, I guess I don't have to be a waitress anymore.
Right. And it's not like £7 million is nothing to her. She doesn't come from money. She's
no.
an orphaned waitress.
Yeah. She's like...
Who spends her Christmases at her best friend's family's house.
Right. So this is like a game changer.
Yeah.
And she's just like, they'll get me out of a lot of jams. Yeah.
She's like... Wow, it's going to be a lot easier now.
Yeah.
She also, like, she's delivered this information through Talking Cat. So it's not like
right.
there's a letter or great aunt left her a
voice recording
right.
or something. Yeah.
Right. No, it's a cat who's like, actually, I'm a warlock who had a transformation spell go terribly, terribly wrong.
I've been trapped in the body of a cat for 50 years.
This thing is on its last leg.
You can use your witch powers to change me back into a human. And she's like,
cool.
I guess I don't really see anything wrong with this plan.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense when you put it that way.
And then, on top of that, this, like, side note that is like, hey, by the way, you can pick a non-magical person to turn into a magical
yes.
person to be your sidekick.
Yeah, the logic in this one, I mean, again, like, other Cozy Cat mysteries we've read, because witches accounts for most of the logic.
Right.
But this one was kind of wild because, like you said, she essentially just gets to pick a friend to give some powers to.
Right.
So Amanda has come to this village with her friend Val, who's like her BFF, and they both work as waitresses, and she's like, oh, Val, do you want magic powers? And Val's like, I don't know. Amanda and Barry are like, well, you're gonna have to get them so we can solve this murder, and Belle's just like, okay, sure. So they just wave their wands and cast a spell on her, and the next thing you know, she can read people's minds.
Which, like, she shows more restraint with that
She's a little
than
bit
Amanda
like,
does.
What's the catch here?
Yeah.
Like, am I selling my soul to the devil?
Like,
Is there going to be any side effects I should know
right.
about?
Right. Am I going to grow an extra head?
Right.
Or
get, like, nose warts? What's happening here?
Do I have to ride a broom around now?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but she gets psychic powers,
mm-hmm.
Which initially bum her out.
She is kind of bummed out by these psychic powers.
She's like, listen, I like to party, okay? And now when I'm in a room full of people, I'm totally overwhelmed and I get sick. So
yeah.
Am I going to be able to party now or no?
She's really bummed about not being able to party. She says to Amanda/Amy, it's all just so sudden, and I always enjoyed going out. What if I can never do it again because I'm so overwhelmed by all the different feelings and voices around me, or have to recover for hours afterwards? You know how much I love partying, Amy. Our monthly cocktail parties at home were legendary. It was perfectly true, of course. You could always count on Val to go to the next party. So,
she's a party girl.
Yeah, she's like, man, this is really going to hamper my partying.
Yeah. I can't handle all the feelings. So, like, her psychic power is empathy, basically.
Yes.
Like, extreme empathy.
Yeah, which is a real buzzkill.
Yeah. I don't know how you're going to go party with, like, extreme empathy.
I got to be honest, though. I think our cat protagonist stole this book.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Lord Barrington.
Yes.
Affectionately nicknamed Barry.
Because Barrington is too many letters.
Too much syllables.
He is the cat, but formerly he was a warlock/landed gentry who was somehow turned into a cat from, like, a shape-shifting spell gone wrong.
He was trying to, like, break the rules of magic or create new magic or
bad
something.
Choice.
He was like, I'm a spell innovator.
Well, for all of his thought leadership in the world of magic, he...
okay.
Now yes, he's stuck as a cat.
Yeah. His innovation failed him, and now his stock value is in the toilet.
Yes. Yes.
He's a cat.
On the bright side, though, Sunshine, even though Barry is a cat, he still loves to party.
He has not been brought down by his cat status.
No.
In fact, he has, like, leveled up. He has a spell that he can put on himself to make his kitty's stomach handle alcohol so he can keep partying with the girls.
I could not stop laughing when I read this, so I highlighted this exchange. Because, naturally, Amanda and Val are like, what? Really? You made a spell just so you can get drunk as a cat? And Barry says, oh, what do you think magic's for? A temporary stomach-altering spell will do nicely for this evening. It's quite simple. I invented it myself, in fact. You invented a spell just so you could booze up as a cat? I asked in astonishment. Well, why not? A warlock is entitled to a drink once in a while, isn't he? Transformed or not.
What else is magic for but getting cats drunk?
Yes. Other notable spells that Barry has invented, he enchants a couch in his library to, like, ripple, so it's kind of like a massage couch. He also, at one point, Val enjoys mixing cocktails because, again, they love to party, and she mixes a cocktail called a Magicarita instead of a margarita.
I think I missed that.
I highlighted that one because I was I like it. And Barry takes a sip from his gigantic Magicarita.
Wow.
Great.
That's amazing. He also, despite being a cat, does some really human-like things.
Yeah.
Like, there's one instance where he is a cat, but he wears spectacles.
The spectacles! This killed me!
So he wears spectacles, and at one point, the story is like, and Barry put his spectacles on with both paws.
Yes!
And I'm like, he did what?
He's got these tiny little, I like to imagine them as wire rim spectacles.
Yes! Maybe like the half moon style?
Yes! Yes! That he's just pulling on and off with his tiny cat paws. There's another instance where Val and Amanda and Barry are doing some reconnaissance in the town, and one of the suspects owns sort of like a health club, and they're spying on him, but they notice that he's coming out of his office, and they're like, oh, quick, act casual. All three of us quickly pretended to be reading the gym schedule on the wall. Not you, Barry, I hissed. Cats can't read, remember? Oh, yes, sorry, he said. Didn't bring my spectacles anyway.
Yes, I would read that, but I forgot my spectacles.
Not that I'm a cat and have no concept of human language or the alphabet. Nope, just forgot my spectacles.
Yes, we left in such a hurry that they're beside my bedside.
Barry also uses his little paws like hands. He tries to draw diagrams for Amanda of like how she should wave her wand.
I love that the commentary is like, it's quite good. For a cat.
Yes. For holding a pencil between two tiny paws.
Yeah.
With little jelly bean feet.
Oh my god. Oh. How does he do it?
I don't know.
He's like this really prim, like stiff upper lip Englishman too. Like that's his personality.
Yes.
Because he's offended by the two girls starting the investigation. He's offended by like going for a walk in the cold and like all of this stuff, but they are so charming and, like, wear him down, and he hates that they nicknamed him Barry because it's not
the Earl of Barrington.
Right. How dare you?
He secretly loves it, though.
He does.
He's into it.
They are the spunk that he needed in his life.
Yes. And even though Amanda is still a novice witch and can't follow his cat paw drawn diagrams to change him back into a human, he's still got a soft spot for her.
Okay, so we talked about this earlier when we were brainstorming, but I have this theory/question that's like, in later books, does Barry get turned back into a human? And does he fall in love with Amanda?
I mean,
is it like Beauty and the Beast?
What a twist. That would be wild.
Right?
Yes.
And so, like, he was turned into a cat in the 1950s. If he gets turned back, is it, like, no time passed and he's still his young, like...
hot self?
Right.
Yeah.
Or is he, like an aged grandpa this point?
Which, I mean, it doesn't really explain, like, how he's been a cat for 50 years but never aged. Like, by all means, he's a pretty spunky...
Right.
Kitty.
He's definitely not a 50-year-old cat.
No. Mm. Then again, the magic in this, they play pretty fast and loose.
Yeah.
This hits our cozy cat bingo that everything could just be, like, explained because of witches.
Because of witches.
It's magic. I have to say, though, if Barry does get turned into a human in subsequent books and falls in love with Amanda, I think that would really be trading up for her because she has some... questionable taste.
Yeah. She did not do well romantically
in
this book.
We will get to that, but I think first we should take a quick step back and look at this town.
Yes.
Where Amanda and Val have landed. As we said before, this is our first international cozy cat mystery.
It takes place in England.
In Fickleton.
Somewhere in the Cotswold.
I'm bad at geography, so I don't know... where that is.
I lived in England for like 6 months and I still don't know where that is.
It's somewhere in the countryside. And I would say this like most of our American cozy towns hits kind of the same. I can't think of the word.
You know what we can say?
Hmm.
It's about an hour from London by fast broom.
We can say that definitively. Yes. So make of that what you will.
Yeah. If that gives you any sort of idea, it's an hour from London on a fast broom.
There's lots of country lanes. We have the Fickleton Manor that Amanda inherits.
Right.
That's not the only manor, though. There's also Worthington Estate or Worthington Manor, which is occupied by the haughty art collector Lady Worthington.
Right. She's new money.
Yes. And she just sounds tacky. Just loves...
she likes to berate her maid.
Yes, she's very gaudy in the way she dresses, mm-hmm. and she collects a bunch of art, and she's just, you know, new money trash.
The description of the manor is like, it would have looked nice.
Yeah.
If they hadn't added all these gauche details.
It's very shady.
Yeah.
It's certainly nothing like Fickleton Manor, which is, you know, a proper English country manor.
Yeah. It's old, and they let it look old.
Yes, and they don't have electricity either, which sort of comes into play later.
Yeah.
Other notable spots in the town of Fickleton, we've got the pub.
Cozy pub.
/ hotel, which also happens to be our cozy crime scene.
Mm-hmm.
Our murder victim is a journalist who was doing some investigating into the upcoming Fickleton Arts Fair.
Like many of the books we've read, this book opens with the murder as a flashback, and then the rest of the book takes place in the correct timeline.
So deep condolences to Michelle Noseworthy, who is killed in like the first 5 pages.
Right.
She was a journalist that knew too much.
And it killed her.
If you love women too much in these books, it will kill you.
If you know too much in these books, it's probably going to kill you, yeah.
What are some other spots? Oh, we have our
cozy golf course.
Yep.
Golf center.
It sounded to me like it was like a country club.
Yeah.
Like it was a golf course, but also had a really fancy gym.
Right. Like she's walking by and she's like, and there are people playing squash and tennis and racquetball and all the other things you can do with a racket and a ball in a room.
Right. It's a sportsoplex. Cozy sportsplex. And that is owned by a gentleman named Derek Reynolds, who is a person of interest in this case.
Right.
And then finally we have our cozy Soviet era bunker.
We have a super paranoid conspiracy theorist, Colonel Wharton, who is positive that the government or whoever is out to get him.
Hence the bunker.
Yep. He has also, like, were they Doberman Pinschers or something?
I thought they were German Shepherds.
Okay.
He's got some big guard dogs that he's rolling with.
And he has, like, supreme authority over them. Like, where he can snap his fingers or, like, look a certain way, and they follow his every command to a T.
Needless to say, Barry is not a fan of these dogs. Mm-mm. And not a fan of Colonel Wharton.
Mm-mm. I actually quite liked Colonel Wharton.
I did, too. I was very sad when he turned up dead.
I know, me too.
He was a suspect for a hot minute because Amanda and Val were wondering what was in the bunker. You know, is it... The key piece of evidence in the journalist's murder is that her notebook goes missing. And they were like, well, listen, we got this weird paranoid old man roaming the streets of the town at all hours.
He's like, don't trust anyone. Yeah. They're all out to kill you.
Maybe that was a warning. Don't trust me. I murdered this journalist and put her notebook in my bunker.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he dies before they can figure that out.
And actually, he did have her notebook.
He did.
But he didn't kill her.
He did not kill her. But he was killed by his own dogs. They were ensorcelled.
They were ensorcelled.
Yes.
I love that in this book, so there are witches and warlocks, and those are like...
Men and women that can do magic.
Magical men and women. But a witch or warlock who has gone rogue and is a criminal is called a sorcerer.
Right. So sorcerers are extra bad because, as we learn, they're not really interested in financial or petty crime so much because they can just use their magic to create currency. But the one thing that sorcerers are after, and what they seem to think this particular murderer sorcerer is after, is art, because they cannot recreate original works of art. They can make duplicates that, like, later fade away with magic, but they can't make real life art. Right. So
they can't actually make a Van Gogh. They can make a $100 bill, but not a Van Gogh.
And wouldn't you know it, at the upcoming Fickleton Arts Fair, a Van Gogh painting is going to be on display.
So there's this whole smuggling / art thievery ring happening in small town Fickleton, England.
It is so convoluted, but it's going on.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, though, law enforcement is on the case. I was going to say luckily, but we need to talk about the law enforcement in this book.
So, as we mentioned in one of the reviews, non-magical people are called Hebs.
It's just the author being like, man, why didn't I think of the word muggle first?
Right. God, Harry Potter beat me to the punch.
Bummer.
So, Heb.
Hebs.
Anyway, this actual normal person policeman called PC Bowler.
Police Constable Bowler.
That's right. I was like, what does PC stand for?
Yes.
Police Constable Bowler is about the worst police person we've come across in any of the books we've read so far.
And that's saying a lot, because a classic cozy bingo chestnut is the fact that law enforcement has no idea what they're doing.
Right.
But PC Bowler takes his incompetence to new heights.
This guy is way worse than the police chief uncle who was like, here are the keys to the crime scene. Knock yourself out.
Yeah, right. Back in Perfect Murder.
Yeah.
Basically, we know Fickleton is a small town. And when Amanda and Val first arrive, PC Bowler is like, never seen you around here before. Huh? You think you maybe committed some murders, eh?
They're like, we just got here. Our flight literally just landed. We couldn't have murdered this person because we were not here.
And he's like, oh, that's a likely story. Also, within like the first 2 minutes of meeting them, and I'm thinking, no, I should not do my terrible British accent. Within the first two minutes.
I don't know. I kind of love it.
Of meeting Val and Amanda, PC Bowler's like, yeah, you know, there's been a murder around the pub, and this journalist was killed, and someone stole her notebook with all of her notes, and it might have been you, because I've never seen you around here before, and we don't like outsiders. It's like...
And he calls her Missy the whole time.
Missy, yeah. And she's like, what? No. No, there's no way it could be me. I wasn't even in this part of the country.
I have actual documented proof that I was on an airplane.
Pretty good alibi.
Yeah.
And he's just like, uh-oh, no.
He's like, I don't believe you at all.
Not buying it. He has the tendency to show up just at inopportune times because he's somehow convinced that Amanda and Val are the murderers. Again, despite only arriving in town like the day previous. And one night he shows up at Fickleton Manor And we mentioned before, it does not have electricity. So they're chilling in the library with Barry and some cocktails. They've got a fire going and candles are lit.
It's real cozy.
It's very cozy. Mm-hmm. They're discussing, you know, who they think the murderer is, and PC Buller raps on the window and comes in. He's like, "Hello, hello. Don't even have a doorbell, do you? You young hippies really are the limit." It's just like, what? Young hippies? Like, I don't know. And then Amanda tells him, you know, well, we're not doing anything, because he's like, "Oh, I've heard you've been sniffing around town trying to solve a murder." And she's like, "Well, I mean, we're not doing anything illegal." And then he threatens her.
Right. He's like, "I'm going to throw the book at you.
I will personally make sure that the full force of the law is brought down on you."
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that. You can't just...
You can't just go over and be like, "Hey, yeah, I don't like you, and I'm going to make sure you pay for it.
And I'm pretty sure you murdered someone, even though there's literally no way you could have done that.
0% evidence that it could have been you."
I mean, it'd be one thing, too, if he was like, "Oh, I don't like your kind because you're a witch and I know you could do magic."
Right.
But he's too dumb to realize that magic exists.
Right. So he has no idea.
He's just like, "You haven't lived here before. I think you guys..."
"I've never seen you, so you must be a murderer."
Equals murderer. Worst police constable ever. He's absurd. Yeah. He's also described as having, like, a big bushy mustache and being very portly, so...
I just imagine he's, like, Pink Panther.
Yes.
Steve Martin style.
Yeah.
Just, like...
Total
goofball. Purposefully obtuse.
Yes.
Yeah.
In addition to our non-magical law enforcement, this book also features the MLE.
Magical law enforcement.
Yes. And they're on the case, too, because they're like, "Hey, listen, we think this murder is committed by a sorcerer. There's been all these art heists committed by sorcerers, and, you know, they're way worse than witches and warlocks, and we think they'd kill to get some art. So we're going to send our best and brightest MLE officers to investigate the case."
And by officers, we mean just one, because yeah, we're cheap and we're on a budget we can't afford to send any additional backup. Just this one dude. Good luck.
Enter Rick Laval. I would say that there was tension or, like, romantic chemistry between them. But again, because Amanda is so laid back, she's like,
"Cool.
Nice to meet you, Rick." "Sure, why not? Oh, you're a warlock? That's cool."
She gives,
cool,
like, a passing thought to, like, "Well, he's handsome."
Yeah.
"I have a feeling of butterflies in my stomach as he enters the room."
Neat.
"I guess won't do anything."
Yeah. All right. It's like, scintillating.
So what's great about Rick, besides being the only magical law enforcement officer who can come to solve this terrible art smuggling ring and, like, murder spree, is that he also has a brother who is also in magical law enforcement.
Yes, that's his older brother, Alec Laval. But Alec is undercover infiltrating a criminal organization run by sorcerers. So he is, like...
Sorcerer Mafia.
He's a mole in the Sorcerer Mafia. So he's kind of like, "Oh, sorry, I can't get out to Pickleton right
now." He's like, I'm busy.
He does show up later in the book to assist Rick and Amanda and Val and Barry at the arts fair, because they think the sorcerer is going to strike. And seemingly the sorcerer does strike and try to make off with the Van Gogh painting.
And we think it's the golf club owner.
Yes.
The Sportsplex Prince.
Who I think was maybe named Derek. Derek Reynolds.
Yes. So he was having an affair with the journalist who was killed. And so it makes sense, right? Because there's motive. Yeah. Like, he has a girlfriend. He had an affair with the journalist. You know, maybe she had some dirt on him or something.
Hence the missing notebook.
Right. So he steals the notebook and murders her, and he wants art because money.
And everyone's like, awesome, this makes so much sense.
Wrapped
and
up.
Rick Laval's like, I'm going to catch this criminal. Reynolds grabs the Van Gogh and runs from the art fair. Rick follows in hot pursuit. He steals a motorcycle. Everyone quickly makes their way to the golf club. They see Rick and Derek fighting in a helicopter. And Amanda's like, I'll cast some witch spells on the helicopter.
Even though she's only known she was a witch for, like, a week at most.
At most. So she tries to hit the helicopter with spells, but it's spell repellent.
Yeah.
Respellent. It's respellent, and Rick and Derek fight in this helicopter, and Derek pushes him off and absconds with the Van Gogh, but then the helicopter crashes in a fiery inferno, and the Van Gogh painting and Derek are dead, and seemingly that's it. Case closed. Or is it?
Or is it? There's another twist.
At the arts fair, Rick's older brother Alec comes down and mentions to Amanda that, you know, he would have come down sooner, but Rick insisted that he handle the investigation of the missing art on his own, which is the opposite of what Rick told Amanda.
Right.
Because he was like, ugh, MLE is just stretched so thin, we just don't have enough witch cops. And she's like, oh, that's terrible, yeah, too bad. Oh, wow, too bad. But Amanda puts the pieces together and realizes that it's Rick who is the sorcerer stealing all of the art.
Right.
I don't really know if he had, like, a ton of motivation for doing that.
Right, except, like, he was ambitious.
Yes.
That was it. That was the most, I think, motivation, is that he was ambitious. So he stole art.
And he is like...
And murdered a bunch of people.
Yeah, he was...
Like, the death count at the end is 4.
It's pretty high. Like, yeah. He ensorcels Colonel Wharton's dogs to, like, turn on him and
right.
maul him to death. At one point, Amanda and Val go to talk to Lady Worthington's maid because she's seen the sorcerer, but the sorcerer strikes her dead. Because also the magic in this book, you could just, like, wave your wand.
Yeah, whatever. There's, like, a killing curse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the maid's dead. The journalist is dead.
And then Reynolds is dead.
He died in a fiery helicopter explosion.
Right. Poor Reynolds. He loved his girlfriend, even though he cheated on her.
He just loved women too much, which, again, reoccurring theme in these books.
Killed him.
I think that's a cozy bingo right there.
Yeah, it has to be.
Loved women too much.
That was it.
But Amanda pieces this together and then realizes that the Van Gogh didn't actually burn up in the helicopter crash and that Laval had switched the paintings at the last minute and, you know...
Actually, Tom, the taxi driver, has unwittingly smuggled the Van Gogh out.
Right, right.
For his elderly patron lady.
Yes, and then Laval had used sorcerer magic to create a duplicate. Again, very convoluted, but Amanda pieces this together and she gets on the phone and she's like, hey, Alec, your evil brother is the sorcerer who murdered everyone. And that's when Alec is like, I'll be there by very fast broom. It'll take me an hour from London.
Right.
So he flies over on a broom.
It's kind of like, by the way, they use brooms.
He's like, they don't have... I mean, like, they have cars and taxis and motorcycles.
Yeah.
At one point...
And helicopters.
Yes! And you can make those things repellent, apparently. But...
Amanda's like, oh, in this weather?
Yeah, right. It's so rainy. Really? Out of foggy London? Is that great broom weather? Yes, I don't know. You're the expert. So he comes running, and then Alec and Amanda and Barry combine their magic to, you know, bind Rick and make sure that he gets... taken to justice. And, you know, through all of this, and even though Amanda at one point was kind of like, Rick Laval, like, I'd hit it. At the end of this, she's just like, how could I have been taken in by a homicidal sorcerer? That's so crazy.
It's a question we all must ask ourselves at some point.
Yes. Yes. Which is why I actually really like your theory that maybe down the line Barry will get turned back and it will be a Beauty and the Beast thing. Amanda needs to adjust her taste in men.
I mean, Rick Laval was a bad choice. He was an evil sorcerer dude who killed a shit ton of people and at the end was like bearing down on her with his wand being like, money, and I'll get away with it too.
Right? The biggest motivation of all.
Actually, this time it was art.
And I'll get away with it, too. I could just use my wizard powers to create more money if I feel like it.
Exactly. So I'm hoping that Barry will give her his library, first of all.
That was always my favorite scene of that movie, watching it as a kid.
Same.
I'm just like, what? He got you a library? Like,
girl.
Yeah.
That's a keeper.
Don't go back to that French village. Just stay here.
Stay here. In the castle with the fancy library.
Yeah.
This is it. You've made it.
It's fine. You live with, like, a giant, like, goat man. It's chill. Just read all
like
the books.
Buffalo.
Yes! That's the animal I'm thinking of. I'm like, What was he supposed to be? He had horns and a goat.
Vaguely buffalo-ish.
Yes.
Which, I don't know if they have bison in France.
I don't either.
Provincial France.
Man, is that even, like, a French story originally? Or was Disney just like, you know, it's a cool place for fairy tales? France!
Let's try France.
Right.
I don't know.
I don't know either. Still can't speak French. Man.
Yeah.
So that was Curiosity Killed the Cat.
It was a great read.
It really was.
It was fast, only slightly ridiculous.
I mean,
you know,
it was exactly the amount of ridiculous you'd want from a cozy cat mystery.
Yeah.
And really, contrary to the title, the cat is still alive and well.
Yeah.
So that's good. He was great. I want to read more about this warlock cat that loves to party.
Yeah.
And these two friends who are witches and psychics who also love to party. It'd be great if the second book was from Val's perspective, because she was like a yeah. little more like emotive, whereas Amanda was like, that's just
cool. No, let's go to Scotland now.
Val
was definitely more vivacious.
Yes.
She made a great sassy sidekick.
She was an excellent, excellent sidekick. So yeah, you know what? Mystery Man T.H. Hunter, well done on your first cozy mystery.
Yeah. We approve.
Yes.
We loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for tuning in to
episode 16.
We did it. Please rate, review, and subscribe. Go on iTunes. Click those buttons. Tap them. Whatever.
Yep.
Find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Or visit our website, PerterSheWrote.com.
We are still trying to figure out our next read. We've identified a cozy cat novella that we might do a mini episode on. But if you have any cozy cat titles that you think we should read, send them our way.
That's right. And you know what? I think we're going to end this with a guest appearance from Charlie.
Yes.
I'm going to give him, you guys.
Oh, Charlie. He's been amazing.
Charlie has an obsession with Fancy Feast broths. If you have a cat or cats,
You can't eat Sour Patch Kids, buddy. Sorry, we're just eating our extremely healthy snacks of Sour Patch Kids and wine while we record.
Charlie has this obsession with Fancy Feast broths, and I'm going to go get one.
Yes. Yes, we heard from Herschel on our last full episode, and now we need to hear from Charlie.
Charles. Kitty. What's this?
Oh, boy. What's that, Charlie?
What's this? You want it? Do you want it? Yeah?
Also, Charlie is eating this fish paste out of an extremely elegant little bowl on a pedestal. It's so charming.
It's carnival glass. This is gross.
Oh, chow down.
Oh my god, you guys can hear that?
Yeah. We're just going to close out this podcast cat noises. Chow down.
Thanks for being a part of episode 16, you guys.
Yes.
Kittens, we love ya.
Bye.
Bye.